The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
That, of course, is Tom Jones. Tom Jones is not, despite what some people might say, the patron saint of Wales. That honour goes to St. David, and today is St. David's Day. And I'm delighted to say, joining me now is Nigel Owens, recently retired from international rugby refereeing. And Nigel, you're very welcome to the programme. It's good to talk to you again.
Thank you, yeah. Nice to talk to you as well.
What does it mean today to be a Welshman?
Yeah, we're very, very proud, really. You know, we're a very small nation, just touching over three million people now. And then 20% of the population are fluent Welsh speakers. Now, it doesn't make me any more Welsh because I can speak Welsh than those who can't speak Welsh who are Welsh. But it's very proud because our language is still an important part of our culture and our heritage. And obviously the rugby as well. And of course, St. David's Day is a little bit more worth celebrating after the win on Saturday against England as well. So today is a very, very special day to be Welsh for many, many reasons.
Yeah, I don't want to get too deep into the rugby, but I have to mention it. I mean, it's such a Welsh thing to do, isn't it? To come into a tournament, having lost, what was it, 9 games in a row, and then to go and win a triple crown. They'll go and win the Grand Slam now.
Well, it's on the cards, isn't it? You know, we've got to go to Italy, and obviously Ireland beat Italy well on the weekend, but Wales still have to play well to beat Italy, and then it's going to be a different sort of kettle of fish when you go to Paris for could potentially be a Grand Slam decider, although we really won't know that because I think France will be playing Scotland, I believe, anyway. So, it is. And it's not surprising. You know, I know that the coaches were trying new players out in the autumn internationals, wanted to see what players were like. Some players hadn't played much rugby because of the COVID restrictions and everything. And a few players found out not quite to be at that level, and certainly not at this time anyway. And then he found out a bit more about the players. And we had a little bit of luck as well, you know, against the Irish in particular. But, you know, they deserve to win the last two games for sure, even though that Scotland were down to 14 men. So onwards and upwards now, I hope.
Yeah, well, listen, let's get back to Wales then and the matter at hand. Is it a big day in Wales, St. David's Day, a day of celebration?
It is a big day. I wouldn't say that it is as big, maybe as celebrated as you do with St. Patrick's Day, because we don't have an official bank holiday here, although quite a few Welsh companies and stuff and people will take the day off, will give some time day off to some of their employees during St. David's Day as well. And I'd like it to be celebrated much more than it is, but it still is celebrated and the kids wear their traditional Welsh costumes, and we don't have so many now. We certainly don't have it now during this time, but when I was sort of 10, 15, 20 years ago, on a St. David's Day, you would have like a St. David's Day concert in the night in local villages and local halls where local entertainment would go and entertain, and people would have cowl, which is like a sort of stew version of a bit of Welsh dish with Welsh cakes and stuff like that, and people singing and saying jokes and a lot of celebrations and stuff as well. So it is something we do celebrate for sure, but I would like to see it being celebrated even more, you know, and that we could, because I think St. Patrick's Day, the Irish know how to celebrate that, that's for sure. But it also sells Ireland to the world, doesn't it? You know, because everybody's aware of St. Patrick's Day. So it's something I think we certainly can celebrate more and we need to celebrate more of, but it is celebrated, yes, of course.
How does your national identity as a Welshman sit alongside your identity as being part of Britain and the United Kingdom? Like, are they competing interests or can they sit alongside each other comfortably?
Well, they sit alongside each other for many, many people. You know, a lot of people are proud Welsh people and are proud to be British people as well. And then a lot of people are Welsh and that's it and nothing more. I think maybe what contributes a lot, you have the British Lions, for example, you know, the British and Irish Lions. It's a bit of a hot topic, really, I guess, particularly with the talk around Welsh independence and the movement calling for Welsh independence growing as well. So a lot of the population would count themselves Welsh and British, secondly. Some very few would count themselves as British alongside Welsh, and then quite a few as well would be Welsh, and that's it, you know. So it differs in certain various parts of the country as well. And you have to remember as well that Wales has a huge influx over many generations, years of English people living in Wales, a lot of Welsh people living in England as well, and in London celebrating St David's Day as well, of course, as well. So it is a very debatable subject, and quite a split throughout the country, I would guess, when it comes to that.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, but when we look at it from this side of the pond, I suppose a lot of people would wonder why that Welsh nationalism and that drive for Welsh independence hasn't been as strong as, say, the Scottish calls for independence.
And it's probably a lot to do with the population. We are a very, very small country compared to Scotland, the population of Scotland. I think as well, maybe over the years, there's a lot of Welsh people who are married to English people, a lot of English people who are married to Welsh people. So that tends to bring people together a lot as well. And the growth has probably been over the recent years in the call for independence, in probably a lot of disillusion with the way that politics is at the moment, generally all over the world, I guess, but in Westminster as well. And I suppose as well with Brexit, another factor as well, has probably contributed as well to the rise of Welsh independence. And of course, you have to diverge back into history as well to understand, you know, the oppression from England on Wales many, many years ago, particularly around the period of the Welsh Not, where children were forbidden to speak and were treated badly in school and disciplined very harshly for speaking Welsh, and so these kids could not speak any other language but Welsh. There's a lot of history behind it as well.
The language, then, you bring it up, and let's talk about the language, because again, from this side of the pond, people often cite Wales as an example where they've got the language right and the resuscitation of the language. How was it taught in school? How were you exposed to Welsh, and how much did you speak growing up?
Well, I couldn't speak English until I was taught it in school, because when I was born up, the population of the village I lived in was pretty much 100% Welsh speaking. We're talking about a village maybe then, back then, about 160, 170 population. It's probably now up to about 200, 250 population. And I think it's probably maybe even around the 40% of the village are affluent Welsh speaking now. That's how much has changed over the last 10, 20, 30 years, because you could sell a house in England or in London somewhere for 10 times the price and buy a house 10 times the size and a lot of land and stuff. Anyway, so a lot of English people move into Wales for a quieter and a better way of life away from the big cities and stuff like that as well. So that has contributed a lot to a fall in the Welsh language over many decades. But then we've seen a resurgence then in the Welsh language of the old grammar school systems are phased out in Wales, and then you had a choice of doing your education through the medium of English in English speaking schools or through the Welsh language in Welsh speaking schools. And the Welsh speaking schools, bilingual, contributing hugely to that, because it seems that the children who are bilingual tend to do much better in school. So Welsh schools have sort of become very, very popular. A lot of non-speaking Welsh parents will send the children to have their education in Welsh. So that has contributed to the growth as well. And I think it's still a hugely part important of a culture, of a language, and also as well, a lot of jobs in Wales require you a preference to be speaking both languages. You also have the Welsh TV, Welsh media, which is hugely popular in Wales. So there's opportunities, there's job opportunities for you if you can speak Welsh as well. And that is a huge contribution, I think, in the amount of people who want to learn Welsh and continue to learn Welsh as well. And obviously now I think we are at a time, I think, as well, people now are getting a little bit more patriotic, I can't even say the word, sorry, about their about their heritage, about the culture, their identity and who they are. And obviously a huge part of your identity as being Welsh is the Welsh language. So that does contribute a lot of people now in actually learning Welsh as well.
Oh, listen, Nigel, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you today, and happy St. David's Day.
Diolch yn fawr iawn I chi. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much. Nigel Owens recently, of course, hung up the whistle as an international rugby referee. Plenty of people getting in touch on 53106. Some lovely messages there about Nigel. People saying how great it is to hear him on the radio. Arthur on language says one big mistake was made at the foundation of the state here, and that was to make Irish our first official language, with our native language, English, being relegated to second place. The damage was also done by making Irish mandatory in school. These two actions have led to most of the indifference and negativity toward Irish since it was foisted upon us in the 1930s, long after it had died out as our mother tongue. On schools and the related issue, I suppose, when Arthur brings up schools, of people being back in school today, this listener has a nice message for the teachers out there. My Leaving Cert son skipped into school today, and he has diligently attended online classes since Christmas. I admire and respect the teachers, and I'm incredibly grateful to them for their support and their work ethic. But can you remind them that unfortunately, the teacher bashers seem to be able to get their voices heard on radio, TV or social media. In contrast, the rest of us parents, grateful for the teacher services, don't think to praise the teachers for a service that we've come to expect. I'm sorry about that. So can I say it loud now? The teachers have been amazing. Thank you to all those who have provided classes, feedback, support and extracurricular activities throughout the pandemic. For example, debating, Olympiads, etc. You have been true professionals. Well, I hope the teachers listening are happy with that ringing endorsement, and thank you for the text. 53106. After the break, we're going to be talking about a crisis in masculinity.